Wow. What an incredible day. That's a beautiful day. And I just want to welcome all of you worshiping with us online. I wish you could be here, but I pray that the same spirit that's in this place is where you are today. And like Holly said, this is a bigger story than just celebrating Bethel, but this is a look at what the Lord has done. Amen? 100 years. You know, when babies are born, and we're having a baby boom right now here at Bethel, that's one way we're going to grow the church for the future. when there's so much, the rate of growth and development happens so fast that we don't track their ages by their birth year. We actually go by months for almost like 18 to 24 months. There's so much happening, we say how many months they are. And so I don't know if you knew this or not, but technically our birthday was in February. We put off the party till this weekend so we could enjoy all this beautiful weather and our friends wouldn't come over the Coca-Cola. But technically, today marks the completion of 1,204 months that we've been alive. That's a lot of living. And it brings me to this question, though. If you were given 1 month to live, how would you live differently? That's an interesting question. There was a question posed by an author named Carrie Shook in the book called 1 Month to Live. And many of us, where's all the list makers? How many are given a month to live? You'd start making some lists, right? You would like let's start, thinking about who do I want to spend time with? If I had a month to live, I'd think about what do I want to stop worrying about? If I had a month to live, I would not be doing laundry. That pile would be getting big. I wouldn't be checking emails. I was reading this week about a girl that was given a few months to live at 22 years old, and she decided to take out a new credit card. And she said, I'm just going to buy some jewelry, and I'm going to get Uber Eats. And she said, I'm going to rack up the bill, right? A month to live. I hope you wouldn't do that. Maybe you'd have some bucket list items that you'd get to checking off, some places that you'd want to see in the world. Maybe as you think about that, the question's a little unsettling. You don't want to think about dying. But that's missing the point. The question is not really about dying, it's about living. Right. How would you live if everything trivial was stripped away? If every distraction disappeared? If everything important and of value became clear to you? How would you live if you stopped waiting for someday? Someday when my schedule calms down. Someday when my finances improve. Someday when my kids are grown so I could live the life I dreamed of. It's about moving past the life of just surviving. About killing time and getting by. It's about a life that's flourishing and thriving. About living passionately, courageously, and with vision. It's about pursuing everything that God has in store for us and leaving nothing undone that he desires to do. Today is a celebration of that kind of living. See, 100 years ago, a handful of families from Caledon and Penticton had experienced the presence of God for themselves, and they had a dream that other people here in this region would experience and encounter God the same. They began holding prayer meetings in their homes. They invited a traveling evangelist to come and hold revival services here in Penticton. And on February 3rd, 1926, they held the very first gathering of Bethel Church. They had no idea what the future would hold. They had no idea who would even respond. They had no idea that what the church's legacy would be. They simply stepped out in obedience to that prompting and to the vision that they believed that God had given them in that moment. They chose faith over comfort, obedience over caution. They chose mission over convenience. And because they stepped out in faith along with hundreds of others along the way, many of whom you are, some of them, and they followed in their footsteps. And because of that, we get to be here today celebrating Bethel's legacy 100 years, 1,204 months. But 100 years, as I've said, is not the finish line, is it? It's just a milestone that gives us opportunity to celebrate. It's always a good reason to have a party, isn't it? To celebrate what God is doing, but it also inspires us to keep moving. To keep expanding that legacy, running with passion and purpose. Running with passion and purpose. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he encourages us to maintain that sense of passion and purpose. He says this, he says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When you say that, when you say it's fervor. Fervor, that's not a word that we use too often, but fervor comes from the Latin, and it literally means to boil, to bubble, to that roiling, bubbling surface of the boiling water, to glow with heat. It's about passionate belief and energetic devotion. It's being hot, but hot with motion. That's what fervency is. It's not casual. It's not nonchalant. I don't know what the opposite of nonchalant is. It's like totally chalant. So why? Why would Paul encourage us to keep our spiritual fervor unless it could be lost? Paul knew, like we know, that fervor can fade. Passion can dissipate. Churches can become comfortable. Christians can become complacent. After 100 years, our greatest danger isn't failure. It's familiarity. We can become so accustomed to God's blessing that we stop being amazed by them. So familiar with his presence that we stop pursuing it. So familiar with the mission that we forget the urgency of it. And so Paul encourages, keep your spiritual fervor. Say it with me one more time, fervor. Even the word itself. Fervor doesn't sustain itself. It has to be nurtured. See, fire doesn't stay hot because of what happened yesterday. Right? Fires stay hot because they need to be tended. And when you add fresh fuel to the fire and the heat is maintained. Every generation needs to maintain its fervor. Every generation must have its own encounter with God. Its own obedience, its own sacrifice, its own passion for the mission. Passionate fervor. Have you ever noticed that kids are always running? Any teachers in the house? Parents, right? We're always saying, walk, don't run, slow down, right? No running in the house, no running around the pool, no running in the church. Anyone grow up in those days? No running in the church, right? Kids are always running. Adults run differently, don't we? We run errands. We run meetings. We run behind sometimes. You know, with a few exceptions, adults don't run unless it's urgent, right? Unless we have to. I know some of you are weird and you run for fun. I know that. But kids don't run out of necessity. They got nowhere to be. Right, they just run out of passion and zeal and fervency. And somewhere along the line, somewhere along with our tight hamstrings, we stop running. And we slow down. And we start to stroll, don't we? Eventually we lose the pep in our step. Spiritually speaking, Paul is saying, don't let your fervor fade. Don't let your zeal diminish, but keep serving the Lord. Keep running with passion. Why? Because there's still people who need to know Jesus. There's still families in need of healing. There's still neighbors who need hope. Why do we keep running with passion? Because the Holy Spirit is still moving. And the gospel is still saving. And Jesus is still changing lives. And so we have to keep our fervor. For 100 years, the people of Bethel, in all their different fashion sense, with all their different hairstyles and musical taste, and there's some photos in the lobby, you can check out some of those over the years. But all through the years, Bethel has refused to believe that the work is finished, just as we refuse to believe it now. Yeah. And so we join them in embracing Paul's encouragement to maintain this zeal, this fervency, to run with passion. But passion isn't enough. The Apostle Paul continues his theme in 1 Corinthians 9 where he says this. He says, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. Paul says, I'm not just running passionately. You could run passionately. That's what kids do. They run passionately everywhere, but they don't have purpose. Paul says, I have passion, but I also have purpose. I'm running towards something. I'm running with purpose. And there's nothing more obvious than after 100 years of ministry that the fact that the church exists for something greater and bigger than itself. See, we don't exist to merely preserve and to carry on tradition, do we? We don't exist to merely gather people into church services. We exist for a mission. That same mission that turned that vision into reality in 1926, we have that same mission today, that people far from God would come to know and encounter him. This year, we rearticulated that mission in the statement that we said, we exist for the glory of God and the good of our city. Jesus said of his church in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. The local church is still God's chosen instrument for making his glory known. And when the church is alive and flourishing, cities change. When the church is alive and flourishing, families are restored. When the church is alive and flourishing, hope is rekindled. When the church is alive and flourishing, lives are transformed. When the church is alive and flourishing, the presence of God becomes visible on the ordinary streets and in the workplace lunchrooms, in the school cafeterias, in the parks and the playgrounds, and in the sports fields. Just think of what light does. Light reveals. It illuminates. Light guides. Light pushes back the darkness, and light brings hope. Light is both an individual and a corporate calling. In this verse, it's one of those you are. It's one of those y'all verses. Y'all are the light of the world, like a city on a hill. A city isn't a singular light, but it's a culmination of all its individual lights combined to create that unmistakable glow. God has called his church to shine bright for all the world to see us, both individually and corporately together. And so we have to keep running with a purpose because we are the light of the world. We're going to run with passion, run with purpose. The third thing I want to share with you today is that we're running towards the future. As I said, 100 years is an incredible milestone, but it's not the finish line, is it? Paul shares with us what that finish line is in Philippians chapter 1. And he says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What an incredible finish line to run into those open arms of Jesus, wide stretched. But until we're in that place, we're not finished. Paul reminds us that we're not there yet, that the story's not over. And the mission is not accomplished. There's still more work to be done. Disciples to be formed. Community to engage. Gospel to be preached. And God to glorify. We don't honor the past by preserving what has been. We honor the past by building on it for the sake of what could be. We honor the past by discerning what God is asking of us in this time. And in our moment, what would you have us do? You know, I started this sermon asking, what would you do if you had only 1 month to live? How would you live differently? What would matter most? What kind of clarity and purpose, intentionality and urgency would you find? I think what we would truly discover is that our lives aren't really marked by time. But they're marked by moments. What are the moments that we would pursue? Out of those 1,206 months that have made up our life as a church, they've been made up by countless moments. Moments when ordinary people trusted an extraordinary God. Moments when men and women sacrificed and served and invested and poured themselves out for the kingdom of God. Moments when people knelt in prayer and believed God for a future that they might not ever even see for themselves. moments when they prayed for people whose names they might not even know. People like you, people like me. People yearned to be used by God and prayed for the Holy Spirit's indwelling power to live out their calling, to live with passion, to live with purpose, and to live for the future. And now the baton's in our hands. This is our moment. This is our moment to trust and to sacrifice, to give and to pray, to serve and to shine bright, not just for Penticton, but for this entire region. And beyond this region to the world, so that one day generations yet to come will look back and thank God that we were faithful in our moment. There's a little baby at the fun fair yesterday, just born a few weeks back, and we're just imagining what it would be like for him to be celebrating Bethel's 150th birthday. He might not remember who I am, and I don't really care. I just pray that the future would be bright for him, that they would build on what we are building in this moment. 100 years is worth celebrating, but the mission isn't finished, church. The future's calling. So let's run with passion. Let's run with purpose, and let's run towards everything God has for this generation and for generations to come. Would you stand with me all across this place? So Jesus, I just thank you in this moment of celebration that we would take up the mantle, that we would take that baton, Lord, that we would continue to run with a fervent passion, a passion for your presence, passion for your purpose and calling on our life, Lord God, as I pray many times these last few weeks, let nothing be left undone that you desire to do. In Jesus' name, we